All right, tonight we're going to look at a very interesting message. Now, this is not normally the kind of message that I like to study or I like to preach, but this is a kind of an interesting message that will make you think. Okay? So it's good to think. And so tonight we're going to look at thinking on the things of Scripture. And in particular, we're going to look at, and we kind of messaged and touched on this last week, I think, about Abraham's bosom and paradise. Where is it? And where is it now? So we're going to look at a lot of Scripture verses tonight, I have to tell you. So that's always a good thing. So we're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse 19, and also 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 5 through 6. Or who would like to read that? Anyone? Okay. And also we want to read Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40 and Luke 23:43. So Debbie, you want to read Matthew chapter 12, verse 40? And I will read Luke chapter 23 and verse 43. Okay? That's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19, and chapter 4, 5 through 6. Okay. All right, let's stand with you together from God's word. 3:19, right.
1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19, the Bible reads, "By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison." Chapter 4.
5 and 6.
5 and 6 reads, "You shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they may be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit."
Okay, and Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. And Luke 23:43 says, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." All right, you may be seated. All right, so as I said tonight, I don't know how much preaching this will be, and I don't know how much Bible study this will be, or teaching, or however you want to look at it, but we'll see how we go. So tonight we're going to look at paradise. Now, paradise in the Bible talks about a place where God's blessing and safety is. Some would say that it's kind of like the Garden of Eden. That was a paradise on earth. And, you know, we have, the Bible talks about paradise in three different places in the Bible. And only three places. Now, when you understand and study the Bible, there's what's called the law of first mention, which basically gives you an insight as to what that will be about the first time, and also the law of last mention, which tells you a lot about what that's about. And you find the first mention of paradise is in Luke chapter 23, verse 43. We read that, and it says, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And then Revelation chapter 2, verse 7 says this, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." So that's what the Bible talks about paradise. So we're told in the Scriptures, Debbie read that one verse in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, that Jesus, after the cross, after he called, "It is finished," would be in the grave for 3 days and three nights. It talks about he'll be in the heart of the earth. And other scriptures talk about in the lowest part of the earth. Jesus would be there with the thief that day, and he called it paradise. Now, obviously, it wasn't hell, because hell would not be a paradise. It would be a terrible thing. And as we'll see tonight, it's a place that of hell is a place of torment and agony, and it's something that the lost people go to, not saved people. So what the Bible tells us is that after the cross, he would descend to the lowest parts of the earth and spend 3 days and three nights there, and he promised that thief on the cross, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Amen. Now, Jesus doesn't lie.
Amen.
He tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Amen. Now, as I said last week, it doesn't mean God's going to tell you everything about everything, but he's going to tell you enough about what you need to know to be saved, to live right, and to have a hope and expectation for that which has come. So he says that Jesus was in paradise on the day of his death, with the thief on the cross. So since it was the heart of the earth, we know that at that time, paradise was in the heart of the earth. Jesus didn't go and up to heaven and did a U-turn, just as, "Aha, fooled you, I'm off to..." No, no, no. He was there for 3 days and three nights in paradise. You know, there's always in the scripture, you will find there is a separation from the death of believers and the death of unbelievers. God makes a difference. You find that in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. God makes a difference between the clean and the unclean, by the righteous and the ungodly. There's always a difference with God. There's always a separation. Turn in your Bibles, and I just saw these verses earlier, and I haven't got down in my notes, but I'd like you to see them. In Job chapter 12, verse 12. Job chapter 12 and verse number 12. As he goes back the pages to Job. Job chapter 12 and verse number 12. No, Job chapter 14, verse 14, sorry. This is a great verse. If you want a verse to preach on, here's a great verse. "If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait." Now, I want you to notice this. "Till my change come." And what was that verse I said to you in Job 19:26, wasn't it? 19, and then over in... Job chapter 19 and verse 26, which says, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." So here in this passage, Job talked about the change that was coming, and that he would see God in his flesh. Now, I'm going to be presenting some things tonight that you might find different and strange. You might not agree with. But listen to the scriptures, and it could be an interesting thing. So in the Old Testament, when people died, I believe that the lost went to hell and the saved went to paradise, or Abraham's bosom, whatever you call it. A place, as we will see, where they were comforted, a place of joy and blessings and things like that. Now, you might ask yourself the question, and it's a good question, why didn't they just go to heaven? And I think the Bible has the answer, as it always does. So turn over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and we'll look at verse number 3, which says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of God, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Okay? And now look at, let's see where, okay, verse number 13. Hard one, I haven't got my glasses on. Verse number 12 says, "If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" Now notice this. "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." Now Jesus said, no man has ascended to heaven. Now in the Bible, it talks about heaven, and if you like, three different ways. There's the heaven as far as the clouds are concerned, that we can see, the atmosphere. And it talks about that from heaven God sends rain, and from heaven God sends the snow. Now, we know that's not talking about from the place where God is, the third heaven, if you like. It's talking about what we see up there. And the Bible says that no man has ascended up to heaven. Now, we know that's not talking about the atmosphere, because people have been up to there. We know this is talking about heaven where God is. So in the Old Testament, no one could go to heaven. It does talk about Elijah and Enoch. Enoch and Elijah, they were taken up to heaven and Enoch was not. But it does say Elijah was taken to heaven. But I don't think that was heaven where God is, because Jesus said, no man hath ascended up to heaven. And when Jesus says, no man hath ascended up to heaven, I believe he means no man. So therefore, there has to be a place where the righteous, those who have believed by faith, are waiting, as Job said, for their change. Here's a curious incident. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 28. Now, I was kind of wondering if I should bring this particular passage up. Exactly. The witch of Endor, because we're talking about something that God calls an abomination. But yet, the fact that the witch was surprised tells me she didn't got what she thought she was going to get. Something else was at play here, and I believe this was what God was showing to Saul, his sin. Okay? So, 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 11 says this. And I want you to notice this in particular. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up? Not bring down. Bring up. Okay? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me, for thou art Saul? So she is shocked. This is not her show. This is not her gig. This is God intervening even in the midst of this wickedness. And there are witches in the world today, by the way. Amen. And God says they're an abomination. Yep. Just throw that in there. So she says, why hast thou deceived me, for thou art Saul? And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw God's ascending out of the earth. So if they're coming out, they must have been in the earth. Remember Jacob's ladder? Talked about movement. I believe Jacob's ladder was talking about angels, though, and the Lord coming down that way. But they're coming out of the earth. Now notice this in verse 14. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. In other words, when this individual talked about Samuel, she described him as an old man. He hadn't been changed. Remember Job talked about, I'll be in the grave waiting for my change? Now, we know, and we're going to see in a few minutes, in 1 Corinthians, that when we are resurrected, we get a new body. But here he is as an old man, with his mantle, which means he's kind of crooked over. Let's continue. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself, and Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore have I called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what shall I do. And going down, you find that Samuel says, if God's departed from you, what can I do for you? All right? We go back then to verse number 19. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. Now notice this, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me, The Lord also delivered the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Then Saul fell straightway all along the earth and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel, and there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day nor the night. So Samuel said to Saul, "You and your sons are going to be with me tomorrow." Now, interesting, if you read about the battles that happened after that, they couldn't find the body of Saul and his son for several days. But upon the death of Saul, he went to be with Samuel. He didn't go up. He went down. The witch of Endor says, "Who shall I bring up?" Samuel was still old. She said, "He's an old man, covered with a mantle." And Saul said, "I know who that is. I remember him." Now, turn over to 1 Corinthians. I told you we're going to look at a lot of scripture, amen. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 15. Now, I have to confess to you that as I was studying this, this led me to things and understanding that I'd never thought about, which is interesting. Okay, so 1 Corinthians, and let's see, we'll read from verse number 35. "But some man will say, 'How are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come?' Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, and other fishes, and of birds." And it talks about there about the different bodies, and go over to verse number 42. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption." So before it's raised, it's still corrupted. It has to be raised to incorruption. You see, before Jesus rose from the dead, those who were in the graves still had their corrupt form. Remember Lazarus in the tomb? He said, "Come forth." He wasn't in heaven. He was still in the grave. It is raised in, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in corruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. The first man, as it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. So in other words, before the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, Samuel was still old. He still had his mantle, which means he was kind of, you know, the mantle went down like that. But after the resurrection, things change. Here's what David said. So as we look at these things, we see it's not unusual for Old Testament saints to be located under the earth and waiting. David waited for the Lord and was glad to rest in hope. Psalm 16, verse 9 and 10 and 11 says this, "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope." Where's David's flesh going to rest? In the ground. "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." So David said, even if my flesh is laying there, I wait in hope. Remember Job said, "I wait for my change." He said, "The worms eat my flesh, yet my flesh shall see God." That's all before the resurrection. And we saw last week how that Jesus preached to the saints and saints that the spirits in prison. This was during the time he was in the grave, because they were imprisoned spirits. But not only that, as I was studying, he not only preached to the spirits Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. Again, this, you know, this is just Bible, okay? This is what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 says this, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. So verse 5 talks about that God is going to judge those who are alive and those who are dead. The quick and the dead. Quick, it means those who are alive and dead. For this cause will the gospel preach also them that are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. You see, in the Old Testament, nobody was saved by works.
Amen.
No one was saved by keeping the law. They were saved by faith.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, by faith, by faith. All of them, even Lot, who I scratch my head and say, how is he righteous? They were saved by faith. Amen. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness.
Amen.
From Adam all the way to the New Testament and beyond the New Testament, everyone is saved by faith.
Amen.
And faith alone. Now, some people say that, well, the people in the Old Testament, they were looking forward to the cross, and that's how they got saved. I don't think so. I believe that God saw the cross and accepted their faith on account of the cross that was coming. Now, you say, how do you know that? Well, the Bible says even the angels didn't understand. And I don't believe that everyone in the Old Testament who was saved by faith understood everything about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. So that's why I think that the Lord Jesus Christ, while in the grave, in paradise, went and preached the gospel, the only gospel,
amen,
to those who were there and explained to them. As I said, even the angels didn't understand the gospel. In 1 Peter chapter, we read that a few days ago, in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 12 says, unto whom it was revealed that not to themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So even the angels don't understand it. So I think that when the Lord was in the grave, he not only preached to the spirits in prison, he preached to the dead, those who were dead physically, and explained the gospel to them. Now, the reason why he was going to do that is because he was not going to leave them there. He was going to take them out. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 9. As I said, this is why I'm recording this. This is a think about it message. And to be honest with you, as I said, a lot of these things I haven't even thought about. But in studying the scripture, these things come forth. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, which says, now that he ascended, what is it, but also he that descended first into the lower parts of the earth. It's talking about the Lord. Before he ascended, in Acts chapter 1, he had to descend into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all things, that he might fill all things. Verse number 8, I should have said that verse there. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. In other words, that which was down there, and gave gifts to men. Matthew chapter 27, verse 52 and 53 says this, and the graves are opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. After the resurrection, the Lord took those who were in paradise out of paradise and took them to heaven. The heaven. Now, you might ask yourself the question, why would you do that? Well, again, the Bible has the answer, I believe. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Don't you love it when you have lots of Bible, amen? I love it when there's lots of Bible. It's not one little verse and sit down and let's talk about wee fairy stories. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39 and 40. Again, I was studying this and this kind of blew me away. And in Hebrews chapter 11, of course we know, it's talking about by faith, by faith, by faith. Generally, those in the Old Testament, Abraham, Moses, and all the rest of them, these are Old Testament saints who are saved by faith, alone, without works, without keeping the law, saved by faith. And at the end of this, we'll read from verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Now notice this. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. So those who have just been mentioned, Abraham, Moses, Isaiah, all of them, they didn't get the promise that God promised them. And here's the reason why in verse number 40. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So the Bible says here that the Old Testament saints will not be made perfect until we're made perfect. So in other words, God was not going to let them get to heaven before us. Before, and in particular, the Lord. Because he ascended up out of the earth. Now, they were saved, but they didn't get the promise. Remember, Job said, therefore will I wait for my change. That's how we go over to Luke chapter 16. Looking again at some of these scriptures about what they were waiting for. Luke chapter 16, and we'll just focus into verses 23 through 26. Of course, we know this is not a parable. Amen. There was a rich man. There was a beggar. Uh-huh. This is a real event that Jesus told us about. Yeah. Not with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Oh, no, this was just a parable. No. This was not a parable. This was reality.
Amen.
And there is a hell. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that death and hell should be cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, which burneth forever and ever. That's the hell that lost souls who have rejected Christ will end up in.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what the works are. So Luke chapter 16, verse 23 through 26. And in hell, he lift up his eyes. I want you to notice, first of all, he was able to lift his eyes up. He could see. Being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. So the rich man is in hell. He can see, he's in torments, and he can identify Abraham and the poor man. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So he recognizes Abraham, he recognizes the poor man, the beggar, he recognizes they've got water. He recognizes they were in a place of comfort and he was in a place of torment. And Abraham says, verse 25, but Abraham said, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted. The place where Abraham and the rich man were was a place of comfort. The place where the rich man was a place of torment. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So there's a gulf between the two in the earth, but not so great a gulf that the rich man in hell couldn't see. And there was no passing between them. The rich man could see the gulf, but he couldn't pass it. One had water and one had flames. So why were they there? They're waiting for the resurrection. It was sown in corruption. It had to be raised in incorruption. Paradise was a place of blessing. The believer stayed until after the resurrection. Jesus said in John chapter 20, verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God. So Jesus was in the heart of the earth in the lowest parts of the earth, the Bible says, 3 days and three nights. He called it paradise. He didn't lie. He didn't pull a fast one on a thief on a cross and say, "Ah, I got you." He said, "Today you'll be in paradise with me." And Ephesians said, when he rose from the grave, he led captivity captive. In other words, that which was captive in paradise, he led it and ascended, and they walked around. That's what the Bible says. Many of the dead walked around. And now that paradise is not under the earth, but it's in heaven. How do I know that? Well, I'm glad you asked. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1 says this: "It is not expedient for me to doubtless glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven." Paul's saying, he didn't know if he was in the body or out of the body, but he was caught up to the third heaven. And he says, "I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise." So paradise that was under the earth is now in the third heaven. So when we read these verses, Paul talking about being caught up to third heaven, there's been a change that's happened. That which was sown in corruption is now incorruption. That which was waiting for the change has now changed. So today, paradise is in the third heaven. As we read, the only three verses in the old Bible talks about paradise. The last mention, he says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." You see, to be with Jesus is paradise. So when he said to that thief, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," what he was saying is, "You're going to be with me, and that's paradise. But hell will be hell for those who are in hell." The devil and the fallen angels was what the reason why hell was created. It was never created for human beings. It was created for the devil and the fallen angels. But unfortunately, because people refuse the salvation that God has offered them, the only other place they can go is hell. And the reason why the only other place they can go is hell is because they cannot change themselves any other way but through the new birth. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And no man has ascended up to heaven," because salvation had not been finished at that time. So where is paradise today? It's in the third heaven. It's where Jesus is. And everyone who is in the Old Testament, who is under the earth, waiting for the change, has now been changed. And they're enjoying the glories of heaven that they never enjoyed. That's why we sing that song, "When the Saints Go Marching In." I want to be in that number. Can you imagine how wonderful it must have been for the Old Testament saints and those who were saved at that time to go with the Lord, to come up from the grave? That's why we sing that song, "Up from the grave he arose." But it wasn't just him. He took all the saints with him, and they marched into heaven. And if you go over in Ephesians chapter 4, you'll find that it was a triumphant march that even the devil could not stop. I'm looking forward to heaven, amen. I'm looking forward to that tree of life. I'm looking forward to being in paradise. But the greatest thing about paradise is you'll be changed. You won't have to worry about being an old man or being an old woman and having the same, shape and all the rest of it. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, when we get there, we'll have a new body. Not a corruptible one, an incorruptible one. A body that we'll get because of the change, because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good study. That's interesting things. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for these things we can study, Lord. And as I said earlier, some of these things I'd never even considered. But Lord, looking at your word, it's a wonderful thing you're doing in our lives and the lives of those who are saved. And Lord, we pray you continue to work so that one day we'll be bringing joy and glory to you because of the grace and the mercy you've shown in our lives. Bless us and go our separate ways. Bring us back again at the appointed time. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.